Congress is in full swing. Legislators are back in Washington. They've been there for over a week, and they're back at work on legislation, including another swing at the Keystone XL pipeline in the Senate and an attempt to block or undo some of President Obama's immigration reforms in the House.
Also, Secretary of Education Arne Duncan and some Republicans in Congress are considering calling for an effective repeal of No Child Left Behind and what would be the biggest education policy rewrite in 14 years. In our weekly look at Congress, Susan Davis fills in for our regular guest, Paul Singer. Susan is the USA Today chief congressional reporter. Susan, good to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
So it's a new look in Congress. What has this first week been like?
Well, we're now in our second week. So it's been, I would say that there was maybe some expectation that a new Republican Congress would come in and it would be, you know, nonstop action. And I think what you have to remember about Congress is that things here do move pretty slowly. So we're still debating the Keystone Pipeline, and particularly in the Senate, where that debate could take as many as 2 or 3 weeks if they really want to run out the clock and have extensive debate on amendments. And in the House, where things do tend to move a little bit quicker, they've already moved forward on Keystone, and today they've advanced some immigration legislation that is probably going to be another form of confrontation, both within the party and with the White House. So it's been a little bit of both. I think we see Republicans trying to advance an agenda that they can pass and get to the president's desk, but on the horizon, there is a lot of potential for conflict coming up.
At the outset, anyway, is there a sense that Republicans are speaking close to with one voice? They're coming in, they have an agenda, they're going to try to get these things passed and passed soon?
Well, on some things, the easy stuff, they're speaking with one voice. I mean, Keystone has been a lingering issue for years. There's unanimous support within the Republican Party for it. I think that's part of the reason why they chose that issue to kick off the Congress with, is they knew they had consensus and they knew they could pass it. Looking forward, it's going to be difficult. Republicans right now are meeting in Pennsylvania until Friday, House and Senate Republicans, in the first bicameral retreat in nearly a decade, in which they're going to try and figure that out. I think that you are still seeing the problems that Republican leaders are going to have from the conservative flank of the party that is going to make it hard in a lot of cases to advance an agenda. I also think Republicans in the House are going to have a really hard lesson to learn. And if they think they hated it when Democrats controlled the Senate, they're going to be incredibly frustrated when Republicans control the Senate, because it's going to be even more frustrating when your own party controls the chamber and you still can't advance legislation, in part because of the filibuster and 60-vote rules in the Senate. So I think part of what leadership is trying to do, particularly to a lot of these junior, sophomore, rank-and-file lawmakers, is try and set realistic expectations as to what a Republican Party can do with a Democrat still in the White House.
Before we get into a particular legislation more, are we going to see cases where Republican leadership has to cobble together some Democratic support to make up for, say, conservative Republicans who rebel against particular pieces of legislation?
I think that's certainly a possibility. We haven't necessarily seen it yet. Keystone is an interesting case where it's the reverse, in that it's an issue where they have bipartisan support, and only with the assistance of Democrats have they been able to get it over the 60-vote hurdle. I think it's also interesting because Senate Republicans and House Republicans have almost very different charges. Mitch McConnell, the incoming Senate Majority Leader, and Republican leaders in the Senate have said, you know, we want to look to find what they've identified as up to 12 to 15 moderate centrist Democrats who may want to join with us on some of this legislation. We've seen it on Keystone. I'm sure that you would see it probably on some of those social issues, on gun rights or on abortion, if they choose to bring those up. And in the House, there's just a larger, more significant faction of conservatives. We know there's at least 24, because that's how many voted against the Speaker, House Speaker John Boehner, at the beginning of the Congress, who are going to make it very difficult to get things passed in the House, where historically the majority party tries to pass things with the strength of their own party.
Now, sticking with Keystone in particular, the House, you said, already passed it. Senate has it in the works. Is there hope that they can craft something, despite a veto threat from the White House, that they can craft an offer that the president can't refuse on this?
I can't see it, but I wouldn't say it's impossible. We haven't gotten a full breath of what the amendments are going to be offered yet, and how that legislation might change as the Senate moves forward. But the White House has been pretty early and clear that they will not sign this and that they want the State Department review to play out. What I do find interesting, though, is that even from top Democrats who voted against Keystone, Steny Hoyer is the number two Democrat in the House, and he kind of said this week, you know, I kind of expect Keystone will get approved eventually, and I'm not against that. I just want the process to play out. So, you know, it's not been a huge rallying cry for a ton of Democrats. It tends to be more environmentalist Democrats, the outside groups that really do not like this pipeline. There's a sort of sense of inevitability about it, even though it's probably not going to be okayed in this latest debate. And I think it would be hard for the White House to walk back a veto threat that has been as clear as the president has already issued.
Well, let's move to immigration now. The House has been taking votes on Homeland Security funding through September. Republicans looking at amendments aimed at blocking President Obama's recent actions on immigration, maybe his whole record of executive action on immigration. What kind of things are we seeing there?
Yeah, and this is a great example of what I said, where House Republicans are going to run into the wall that is the Senate, even when it's controlled by their own chamber. The House passed a funding bill for the Department of Homeland Security, and through amendment, they attached to it a number of provisions, probably the most controversial of which is an amendment that essentially would end what we call the DACA program, which is the deferred deportations for children of illegal immigrants, which is a fairly, you know, it has a fair amount of bipartisan support, and this is something that passed overwhelmingly in the House, but it's just going to run into a wall in the Senate. Almost none of the, I don't think any of the amendments that the House has looked at to rein in the president's executive order stand a chance at getting 60 in the Senate. So it's a feel-good vote for a lot of House Republicans who get to go home and say they're going to war against the White House, but at the end of the day, there's almost no chance that not only can it not get past the Senate, but there is just no world in which the president would sign that bill. So I think we're just at the first bite of the apple of that confrontation, because part of that is going to be a lot of internal Republican fighting over why they can't get it done. And that's going to be a really interesting fight to watch in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, are these seen as freebies for appealing to parts of the Republican base that aren't supportive of immigration? They can take these votes knowing that there's not going to be any consequence. They're not actually going to happen.
Well, I would also say that there's a lot of Republicans who just firmly believe that that they should happen. So it's a freebie vote in the sense that they get to go on record stating what they believe, so they can go home and say, I voted for this, you know. And for a lot of them, it's very important, particularly when you think about primaries or going back home and explaining your votes to your constituents. And a lot of Republicans represent very conservative districts where that is the policy that they support. So, but having to explain why you can't get it done, even though Republicans control all of Congress, is a very hard case for lawmakers to make. Because I think, you know, average Americans going in their day-to-day lives don't necessarily get too in the weeds on Senate filibuster rules and process. They just want results. And so it's going to be hard for Republicans. They have to sort of measure their message on this, because while the rhetoric they're using about reining in the president is very strong, the reality of what they can actually do in the next 2 years is very, very limited. And Mitch McConnell and John Boehner are actually pretty candid about that. They say we have to be realistic about what we can get done, but at the same time, they have to appease their rank-and-file lawmakers who want to go on record on these issues.
Is there any thought that they'll go big and try to craft a full immigration reform, or will they end up passing just bits and pieces, border security here, that sort of thing?
I think it has to be piecemeal. I mean, the sense coming from leadership for years on immigration is that a big comprehensive bill does not have the support within the party. They don't like that kind of sweeping legislation. They feel like there's too much in it to really understand what you're voting on, and that the overwhelming view within the Republican Party is that they need some assurance that the border is secure before they can even get to the path to citizenship component of immigration reform, which even that to itself is still incredibly divisive within the party and probably doesn't have a majority of support in the House as a standalone. So it's a continually percolating, fermenting issue, and I do not think that the party really has its arms around it yet as to how to address it, how to both make the conservative part of the party happy, but also not move so far right that you start to really alienate even further Hispanic voters and minority voters who are paying attention to this issue, particularly as, you know, we're already in the beginning of the 2016 presidential cycle.
Now, speaking of going big on a complicated issue, there's talk from the White House and from some Republicans about tackling education, changing, maybe even completely eliminating, I guess, replacing No Child Left Behind. Briefly, what's going on there?
It'll be a really interesting fight. The No Child Left Behind law was passed in 2002, and it hasn't been fully reauthorized. And I think that there's a lot of interest in both sides at taking up that law and doing a rewrite. One of the things that I think has become very controversial, which will get tied into this debate, is the Common Core standards that have become that have opponents in both parties, but particularly the Republican Party, who would like to see them stopped or gutted or changed. And I think Democrats in some ways see an opportunity here to advance some of their education initiatives, particularly in pre-K and early education. So there is certainly a potential and room for compromise. It will also be interesting because the 2002 law was written in part by House Speaker John Boehner, who at the time was the chairman of the Education Committee. So as a matter of policy, this is an issue that he not only knows a lot about but cares a lot about, and I think would like to see advanced as part of his own legacy and his own record. So I think that there is genuine interest in it. Whether they are able to find common ground on an issue that has become increasingly partisan in recent years is just remains to be seen. It's too early to know.
Susan, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That's Susan Davis, chief congressional reporter for USA Today, about the latest from Congress.
Coming up, we find out what last night's State of the State address might have said about Governor Walker's presidential ambitions.